Workbook, page 130. Listening practice 8. Endangered languages. You are going to listen to an interview about endangered languages. Listen and choose the correct answers.
My name is Jane Fields and you're listening to the 5 o'clock show here on Radio City. Today we're talking to Dr. Anderson from Bridgetown University. Dr. Anderson is head of the university's Babel Project, which studies languages that are in danger of dying out. He travels the world trying to record languages that could be lost forever. Welcome to the show, Dr. Anderson. Can you explain to our listeners how a language dies?
Thank you for inviting me, Jane. Actually, the situation with endangered animals and languages is very similar. We've all heard of the many animals that are endangered. Apparently, about 5,000 animal species are in danger of becoming extinct. But people don't realise just how many languages are in danger of dying out too. At the moment, there are about 7,000 languages in the world, and over half of them are endangered. About every 2 weeks, another language disappears.
What does that mean?
We usually say a language dies when its last native speaker dies. But the process actually begins much earlier. It happens slowly. Each generation learns less and less of the language until it reaches a point where children don't use it in their everyday speech. Then we know the language isn't going to survive, and that's where my work begins.
What do you do?
I generally work with the last speakers of a language. The languages I study have only been passed on orally. There are no dictionaries, grammar books, or recordings. I begin by asking the elders of the community how they say various words and expressions in their language. We record their pronunciation, and we also write the words down on paper. Then we study the materials and try to understand the grammar. We also collect stories, poetry, and songs, and we record the speakers talking about everyday events.
Your job must involve a lot of travel.
Oh, yes. I live out of my backpack. Most of the places we go to are quite remote. I've just come back from several months in Greenland.
It must have been difficult working in a remote place like Greenland.
It was an incredible experience, Jane. The average temperature was minus 25, but there were times it dropped to minus 40. The cold took some getting used to, but it was still a wonderful experience.
Isn't it difficult learning so many different languages? It was hard enough for me to learn French at school.
I usually manage quite well, but sometimes I do make a fool of myself. On this trip, I'd reached the point where I felt I had a good understanding of their language. I was talking to the oldest man there and wanted to tell him that I liked his hat. Everyone turned red and laughed. He was very nice and taught me how to say it correctly. But I must have said something very bad because no one wanted to tell me what I'd actually said. I still have no idea.
So why save a language that no one speaks? Is it really worth the time and money?
People ask me that all the time. I find it quite sad, really. Saving a language is about saving the world's knowledge. So much knowledge is contained in the stories, histories, and songs of a people. For example, many of these languages preserve knowledge of traditional medicines. If we don't record these languages now, it may be too late. This knowledge doesn't exist in any book or encyclopedia, only in people's heads. And when the person dies, the knowledge is lost.
I'd never had much interest in languages before today. You've certainly made me think again. Thank you again, Dr. Anderson, for coming to talk to us. And I hope you'll come and talk to us again after your next trip.